Now we have, for our gospel, Luke 24, 13 to 35, which is, you probably guessed, because I mentioned it already, this is the road to Emmaus. I want to tell you a little bit of background about it before I start it. And in here, you're going to see how, you know, he explains to them how everything in the scriptures, the Old Testament, is about him. We don't think about that, do we? At least I didn't, until I got used to it. So, you see, there's an old rabbinic tradition. It's called haritza, to make string pearls, lachros, string pearls. Now, what they do to string pearls is they take a passage from the law, the Torah, one from the prophets, the Nevi'im, and one from the writings of Ketuvim, and they string them together to match, to go together, to relate, you see? And they love to do this. And the good ones not only string the pearls, they can pierce them and string them. Now, as this rhythm goes on, in a group with two, whatever, you see, they go from the law, the Torah, to the Nevi'im, to the Ketuvim, to the Torah, to the Nevi'im, to the Ketuvim, and they continue to do this. And as they are doing this, they return to the fire of Sinai, which in the Jewish tradition is the source of all revelation. It's all there, has to be unpacked, but it's the fire of revelation. And so, bear that in mind now, when Jesus takes them through the law, the prophets, and the writings. Was not our heart burning? You see what he's doing? See, it's part of this great tradition. He's stringing pearls for them, as no one else can. He's piercing them and stringing them, because he himself is the Word. All right, with that introduction, we're going to start looking at the text. Okay. That very day, as the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. We're not going to get into it, but there's quite a discussion of which Emmaus or Emmaus it is, whether 7 miles means 7 miles. We don't have to get into that right now. We have more important things to do with the little time we've got. So he went to Emmaus. I do believe that those digging at Emmaus are on the right track, but we're not going to discuss it now. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. Now these are two disciples, okay? And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing. That happens a lot this period, right? He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along this way here?" They stopped and looked downcast. One of them, Cleopas, probably not the same Clopas we had before, Cleopas said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" He didn't say whether he knew about them or not. He just said, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over," that famous word, right? Paradidome, which comes over and over again. It's the word handover signifies the whole passion process. Judas hands Jesus over to Pilate, to the Jews. The Jews hand Jesus over to Pilate. Pilate hands him over to death. And then Paul says, "The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself over." Nobody gave him over. He gave himself over. Okay? So, handed him over to a sentence of death, and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Not very clear what they meant by redeem Israel. Drive all the Romans out? What did they mean? Whatever they meant, they pinned their hopes on him. And perhaps their hopes were higher raised than that already. Besides all this, it's now the third day since this took place, and some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of us went to the tomb. That would be Peter and John and maybe some others, and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. Now here's Jesus standing. Here I am. And so he says to them, "Oh, how foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. If you had half a brain and read that with faith, you'd know what was going to happen. And you'd know I'm risen from the dead." Well, we don't qualify either, right? Do you see what faith is? Faith is a way of knowing. It's not just fidelity to a formula or to a platform or to whatever. It's a way of knowing. Now, so you're going to see that the grace of resurrection is to understand the scriptures, Old and New Testament. It's the grace of resurrection. So, in this Paschal time, we should be pondering the text and saying, "Lord, help me like you helped those fellows." And then, when he comes back, he does the same thing. He goes, they come back, and he's there in the room, as you see, and he starts to teach them. He opened up their minds. "Oh, Lord, do that for us." Well, we're not going to finish the story unless I go faster. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? Why was it necessary? AD. Because it was the will of God. When you ever see this word AD, necessary in this sense, it was necessary because the Father willed it. And it's right there in the Old Testament. Read the servant songs. You know, read Psalm 16. It's right there. It's right there now in the light of the resurrection, but it's there. Okay. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? They're both necessary. Okay. Then, here we go. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, doesn't mention the Ketuvim, the writings here, you will later, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. Every one of us could use that course, couldn't we? Sit with Jesus and say, "Look, see how this talks about me? Do you understand what it says? You see how beautiful this text is and how encouraging." You see, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures, in all the Old Testament. It's talking about me. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression he was going on further, but they urged him, "Stay with us. For it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread and said the blessing. That is Eucharistic terminology. You know, the commentators, but he took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. Those are the words you have at the multiplication of loaves. Those are the words you have at the institution of the Eucharist. He took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. And here we have, he was with them at table. He took bread, broke it, and gave it to them. Took, blessed, broke, gave. A hint, and more than a hint. He broke the bread for them. He gave them his body and blood. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. You know, I'm going to tell you a quick little thing that happens to me once in a while. You know the story? In Capernaum, our Lord is going to over to help raise Jairus' daughter. And the woman reaches out and touches his cloak, right? and she's healed. Jesus stops in the middle of Capernaum and says, "Who touched me?" And the apostles say, "Who touched you? The whole crowd is bumping up against you. What do you mean, who touched you?" He said, "Yes, they're all bumping up against me, but one touched me. She had faith. She touched me, and she's healed." Now, when we go to communion, do we bump up to him, or do we touch him? Where's our head? Where's our spirit? Where are we? You know, back in when I was doing my studies, they gave us this casus conscientiae. You're saying Mass, after the consecration, little mouse comes, he steals a host, and he runs away, and he eats it. Does he receive the sacrament? No. Does he receive the body and blood of Christ? Yes. Why doesn't he receive the sacrament? He's got no brains. He can't. Well, then you can ask yourself, am I a mouse or a man? I mean, what's going on when I receive him? Anyway, they recognized him, and he vanished. Were not our hearts burning? Why? Because they were back at the fire of Sinai. He went through the law. Do you see what he did for them? He broke open the scriptures. They set out at once to return to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them, big crowd, who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." And then the two recounted what had taken place and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Made known to them. That can happen at every Eucharistic liturgy. That can happen in the breaking of the bread, that he is made known to us. As the Luke's account goes on, as you know, Jesus comes and stands in their midst. And then he begins to open their minds. I'm going to find it for you. Just a minute. Luke, okay. Walk to Emmaus. Now, just as they were speaking, Jesus stood in their midst and said, "Peace be to you." And they were really scared. They thought they were seeing a ghost. And so he says, "Look. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Feel me. See. Does the spirit have flesh and blood? As you could see, he's easily that I have." And then he showed them his hands and his feet. And then he begins. And he said to them, "These are the words I spoke to you when I was with you. That the script, all this, what is written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms," that's the Ketuvim, "must be fulfilled." And then he opened their understanding, their mind, their nous, to the understanding of the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ must suffer and die and rise on the third day, and be preached in his, and that there be preached in his name repentance unto life, and the forgiveness of sins to all nations, starting with Jerusalem." Imagine Jesus standing there, opening up the scriptures. You know, if you want that, you can have that. If you really want to learn the scriptures, pray and obey. And especially if you have to preach them, say, "Lord, I'm going to change my life. I'll do anything I got to do. I'll get rid of any sin. You only allow me to understand and to preach." Amen.